Okay, is there any other discussion? Senator Starkus, did you?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm a little uneasy about the bargaining unit division problem that Massonic faces, and if it means getting the bill out, if you need my vote to get it out, I'll vote for it. Otherwise, I'll probably vote no.
Okay, what's the committee's pleasure with respect to the bill?
Chair, I would move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Hall moves House Bill 2288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll. There's no
Senator
further
Hanson?
Discussion.
Aye.
Senator Happ?
Aye.
Senator Dernstein?
Aye.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Otto?
Aye.
Senator Starkovich?
No.
Senator Henderson?
Aye. Okay. We have House Bill 2900. We have to have Representative Hill.
My house number is 900.
Okay, we've got proposed amendments to this bill as well that have been proposed by the Newspaper Publishers Association.
What bill are we on now?
We're on 2900. House Bill 2900. We've asked Representative Hill to come. And Paul Tiffany is here in the event that we have questions as to how the amendments would be administered and the bill. John Gervais is here. So in your bill file, you should find a draft dated 5/13/85, which is the Newspaper Publishers Association amendments, and apparently those are to address from their point of view the situation where you have adults and minors doing the same jobs. Yeah, do you want to come forward and then explain these amendments?
Yes, for the record, Chairman Nixon, my name is John Gervais, and I represent the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association. As we talked to the committee earlier, and Jeb Ledeen was here, the last hearing on this bill, we submitted a letter to you dated May 15th from Jeb in regard to our concerns about the bill and the application of the payments, because while the House committee stated that it would not be a problem to differentiate between payment to people that are soliciting subscriptions, as long as there was a difference in the kind of work that they were doing, it's been testified to by the wage and hour representative that...
Excuse me a second. Well, I want to make sure Representative Hill has a copy of the proposed amendments. Do you? Okay, we're just going over those now. And why don't you come up to this?
These are dash two amendments?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you?
I always like to join my good friend at the witness stand.
It's always good to be together.
Too bad he's not here.
Thank you, Senator.
Starkovich is pretty short.
John and I get along very well.
We have a mutual disrespect because we keep very, very active.
Okay. Well, John, why don't you continue on?
Well, again, Senator, basically, there were comments made by Representative Hill and others on the House side that you could, in fact, make a difference or pay a different amount for soliciting subscriptions if there was really a difference in responsibility and a difference in training and supervision. But the wage and hour representative has testified that the bill as written does not do that, and they would not enforce in that, or they would enforce basically stating that you have to pay exactly the same for a subscription no matter how it's solicited.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Madam Chair.
Senator Starkovich?
I guess what's wrong with that? If
Paul, why don't you jump?
If a 10-year-old or 12-year-old goes door-to-door and generates a certain amount of business for the newspaper, and a 30-year-old goes to the telephone and generates the same amount of business for the newspaper, why should those two persons be paid any differently for the work they do?
Chair Henderson, Senator Starkovich, in that particular situation that you're speaking to, using the Salem Statesman as an example, we would have to increase the amount of pay to the adult. The youth, the child, is paid a greater amount because it's a boiler room operation, generally speaking, when an adult's involved. Or vice versa, it could be a situation where you use an automobile and travel distances and you have supervised situations, what have you. There, I think the legislator's position is that where it's like kinds of work, that's fine. But if there is, in fact, a situation where you have an adult taking people around and supervising them and basically just, you know, leading by the hand through the process.
When the amendment says identical in all respects, if that's read strictly, then you would reverse the practice that you just described at the Statesman Journal, which I applaud, by the way. It's good.
In other words, if I may, Senator Hendrickson, I'm not sure I understand your statement. If it's strictly applied, that you would increase the amount to the adults, is it?
Well,
what you're saying?
I'm saying that when you interpret the language strictly, when you interpret the language identical in all respects, very strictly, you would have to pay persons under 18 the same as you pay persons over 18. Now, in the particular example I gave, most persons under 18 at the Statesman Journal make more than adults over 18 for that activity. Now, that may not always be the case at other papers.
That's true.
And I guess if you give a strict reading to that, you would have to say that in order for the adult to receive the same, the adult would have to be going door to door as well. He or she would have to employ the same method of selling newspaper subscriptions. And I don't think we really want to get into telling the newspaper how they go about running their business. What the intent of the bill is focused not on the means by which the work is done, but by the end product of the labor. And we're saying that if the end product of the labor is the same for persons under 18 versus over 18, that the compensation should be the same.
If I may respond,
okay.
Chair Hendrickson. Senator Starkovich, I understand you're saying the end product is the same result, a subscription. However, there could be dramatically different kinds of activities that go into achieving that end product, and that's what we're saying. Basically, if you stick somebody into a bar room with a list of phone numbers to call, and they're just calling down the list of numbers, there is a lot less supervision, a lot less travel, time, et cetera, involved in perhaps achieving each subscription. Where you have a carrier supervisor driving a person out to the neighborhood and going, supervising through it, we're saying that there can be dramatically different kinds of activities involved in achieving that same subscription. In this particular case at the Statesman, the younger person receives more money per subscription.
Okay.
We like the flexibility of being able to.
Senator Hamby had a question.
John, a case in point. The 18-year-old sells 100 subscriptions but uses the car to deliver. The 17-year-old uses his bike, sells the same 100 subscriptions, but the service is not identical. So your sub 2 is in direct contradiction to sub 1. That service is not identical. It takes a 17-year-old twice as long on his bike, but the service is not identical.
Well, you have the expenses, too.
Representative Hill.
Excuse me, Madam Chairwoman.
But he's still selling 100 subscriptions.
The intent of the bill is for same or almost the same types of goods or services, but identical is far too restrictive. And I think the Senator has raised an excellent point. Someone delivering or performing a job with a bicycle and one performing a job with a car might be very similar and would be very similar, but they would not be identical. In fact, I think that if you use the language here, identical in all respects, it would mean this would be applicable in no cases.
I think
no
I
cases.
Agree. One of my concerns is I'm not aware in any other, like in the Equal Pay Act or comparable work laws is developing, where there's any other test of having identical jobs. You know, usually they're substantially similar. I'm not aware of any other labor law context where they're dealing with trying to compare jobs in which they require them to be identical in all respects. I think that's incredibly restrictive language.
Would you accept substantially somewhere?
Senator Otto?
Accept substantially somewhere?
I wish the Oregon Newspaper Association would come right out and say, we're opposed to the bill. We're opposed to House Bill 2900 in any form whatsoever. We're opposed to it. I wish that they would do that rather than having amendments submitted trying to smoke screen it and everything else. I think it's a good bill. We're talking about basically peace work, and why should we have a differential between how the finished product is accomplished? That's one thing. If we go ahead and start amending this bill the way it is now, all that we're doing is creating an administrative nightmare for the people that have to administer the bill. And John, why don't you just come out and say we're opposed to House Bill 2900, and we'll take your thoughts into consideration rather than having all these amendments and smokescreen. I mean, that's my feeling.
May I have an opportunity to respond?
Of course.
Senator? Senator Otto, I guess initially we were opposed to House Bill 2900 as it was drafted. And while we feel the system is working quite well now, if there are some abuses and some legitimate concerns, then we wanted to try to work with that process and be as fair as possible about it. I don't consider our approach to this to be frivolous or unfair. However, I think we also need flexibility, or it's going to greatly restrict the use of youngsters in this activity. We also feel this could apply to other kinds of fundraising efforts that are where youth are utilized in this state, because it just doesn't apply to us. And I think that it could be a serious impediment to some of those things, too. I would like to see some flexibility. I'd like to work with the committee to get some flexibility in terms of perhaps the languages that the chair used in regard to the comparable worth kinds of language would be more appropriate than the strict language of the identical, using the word identical.
Well, let me just ask Paul a question, because if I would assume if the bill was passed without the amendments and a complaint was filed with your agency, you're going to look at the jobs to see if they're the same jobs, are you not?
Madam Chair, I'm Paul Tiffany, Administrator of the Wage and Hour Division. The way we would probably enforce this statute would be similar to the way we now enforce the equal pay statute, and that is through the various court cases that have come down over the years we're talking about. We know that the court will take into consideration substantially similar situations. They normally do not take in very strict one way or the other, less than 50%.
So in other words, if the adults are really doing a different kind of job than the minors are, they're not going to come in within the ambit of this law, are they?
We don't believe so, Senator Hendrickson.
Okay.
That seems to be a different testimony.
Okay. Is there anything further? Representative Hill, did you have anything?
I just point out that the court cases that have been developed for the equal pay law do point to substantially similar and not identical, mm-hmm. and interpreting the law as requiring identical work or identical piece rate is incorrect, and interpreting the law, the legislation, as requiring the same pay for very different work is incorrect. What we're doing is we're saying that for substantially similar jobs, mm-hmm. and there should be no discrimination based on age when it's piecework. That's what the bill does. I don't think we need to embroider the language. I think we've got it on the record, and I think what Mr. Tiffany just said confirms that that is what the law would accomplish.
Madam Chair.
Senator Otto.
Are we in work session?
We are in work session.
I would move House Bill 2900 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Otto moves House Bill 2900 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Hanley?
Aye.
Senator Howe?
No.
Senator Dernstein?
No.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Otto?
Aye.
Senator Starkovich?
Excuse me, Madam Chair, the vote is on.
2900, unamended.
Unamended. Starkovich votes aye.
Thank you.
Senator Hendrickson?
Aye. Okay, we so ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Okay. We worked on Senate Bill 84 last night, but I'm going to hold that over because we're waiting for more. We want to get some more research on those provisions. I'd like to take up Senate Bill 739. Okay, this, Locke, would you want to come up here? This is a bill that's been requested by the Oregon Peace Officers Association. This makes certain emergency service workers subject to the workers' compensation law, and I believe you testified on behalf, but also because of need for your reservists to have coverage.
Is that 84?
No, we're not doing 84. It's 739.
Yeah. I think for clarification.
84 is a vehicle. The National Guard is no longer interested in that particular.
84 was just the National Guard Reserve originally,
right.
And now it's merged in with 739.
Right. We're using 84 right. For a vehicle for right. Some other bill, which we heard last night.
Yes.
We carried over, but on the Genesis Juice Cooperative and something for the Department of Education, these bills get changed miraculously from National Guard to Genesis Juice. The National Guard's interest is now in 739, which deals with the Police Officers Association had put in, and so the National Guard is no longer using 84, but is interested in 739.
Madam Chairman, there's a representative of both the Sheriff's Association and the Emergency.
Very good. I'm glad the Emergency Service is here today because they weren't here for the first hearing. And
right.
Could we ask them to come forward? Who is here from the emergency services?
Hi, Madam Chairman. My name is Bill Gottlieb. I'm Search
Thank
and
you.
Rescue Coordinator.
Thank you. Would you join us, please? Also someone from the Police Officers Association?
Madam Chair, I'm Gail Heenan with Oregon State Sheriff's Association.
Oh, very good. Thank you. We had questions about how you were handling the Emergency Service Division, how they were handling people who are under your jurisdiction that are injured and what or have death claims, disability claims, and do you have any statistics? I'm trying to recall is we had some information that we were surprised you weren't here at our last hearing. And I seem to recall some testimony that someone in your department didn't want you to be here before the Senate Labor Committee. That always makes the chair of the Senate Labor Committee very unhappy when I hear an executive branch has told someone not to come to a legislative hearing that's relevant to their jurisdiction. Can you enlighten us on that?
I'd like to defer that to my boss, Mr. Lynn Hardy, if we could, Madam Chairman.
Where?
Mr. Hardy? Is he here?
Lynn Hardy. He's in Salt Lake City at this time.
Lucky for him, right?
I think he did.
We did send him a letter.
He did respond, I understand, to your letter.
I think I sent him sort of a hot letter.
Madam Chair, I might note in your files there's a letter from Mr. Hardy dated April 30th with information requested by the committee.
Do we have that in our packet?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. What is your position on the bill, then, from your...
The Emergency Management Division supports the bill entirely.
Okay.
Madam Chairperson.
Okay, that would sort of take away your having to deal with these cases and put it into the hands of the workers' compensation.
Yes, into the professionals. We feel safe, but has a vehicle to handle this, where we don't have the medical expertise or the legal expertise, and we're dealing with about 20 to 30 instances a year.
Yes, we have your list now. People have been injured, and search and rescue types of people. And so what would happen with the Civil Defense Injury Fund, then? You've been paying out of that?
No, we've been going to the e-board on each individual case where there is a bill submitted, and when we find a proper and prudent.
Okay, so then, all right. Okay, Colonel Arpa, did you have amendments, or are you for this bill? I'm trying to refresh my memory on this.
No, we have no amendments.
You would be covered as it is written. Your people would be covered.
Yes, Madam Chairman, we would.
Okay. Would you like to comment from Sheriff's Attorney?
We just put the bill in and we support it.
Okay. So this bill is ready to go without amendments, then?
Well,
no amendments.
It's not the House, has it?
Senator Hock?
I see some of the workman's compensation. What I want to do is want to make sure you really want to do this. That I think with the small amount of numbers you have and the risk that those people are exposed to, that your premium is going to go out of sight. If they put you, I want to find out if they're going to put you into a class by yourself or whether they're going to absorb you,
well,
you know,
first
in a greater unit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really interested in.
Well, would you like to comment?
Yes, Madam Chairperson, Senator Holt. The problem we have now in the state of Oregon, we have approximately 7,000 emergency workers encompassing the youngsters in the Civil Air Patrol, in the Explorer Scouts, then we have mountain rescue folks, and we have Jeep patrols, we have divers, we have people with aircraft and with helicopters that are all under the emergency service worker. So the problem we run into under ORS 401 is that there's a limit of 20,000 per incident. We have one partial or permanent disability pending at this time that has been pending since 1982. So some of the language in the current ORS is very antiquated, and it does not protect our emergency worker who is out there dedicating his time. Well, in a lot of cases, it costs him a lot of money to become a member of a search and rescue organization or a volunteer for the individual county or state entity.
I guess my concern is that your emergency people are not 8-hour-a-day people, so they only log a small number of hours, yet their exposure is high, so that the premium derived off of the entry in your particular class is going to be very small with a high exposure, and that means one thing. That means terrifically high rates, because rates are supposed to match potential claims.
Well,
and it's liable to kick you into a class that you really want to do that. I've been in one that was $100 a hundred.
Well, I might say, though, if they're experience rated, their experience is
good. Well, they're not experience rated.
Well, I realize that, but what they've submitted to us shows that they haven't had any major injuries.
We haven't had any deaths. We've had one partial permanent disability where a horse had stepped on an individual's knee. The horse stepped on him. Quite a story.
All right, now, who would assume the coverage? The local communities or your division would have to pay the premiums?
Well, that's to be investigated. Back in 1982, it was appropriated by the division and had been that way since about 1972 on 82.
Well, the state law department would pay it for their people, and then I guess your division would have to pay it for the...
Senator
McCoy.
Who covers you now?
Madam Chairperson and Senator McCoy, we are not covered now. For any injury, we must submit the bill to the e-board as an individual entity. We were dropped in 1982.
Okay.
I would like to ask the colonel. The colonel? Yes.
Sure.
Would the federal government pay the percentage of your workers' comp?
Madam Chair, Senator McCoy, there would be no federal share in this because this is the non-federally recognized portion of the National Guard. We have an estimate for the biennium based on an assumed $10 an hour rate of about $3,300 for covering our people, which round figures would be about 500 people. There has been coverage in the past. There was a period, I believe, in 1981 when the emergency fund or the claim fund was set aside. It was taken during the financial crunch of that period, and there was safe coverage provided. It's my recollection that that amount for a period of a year was, can you help me on the amount? Sheriff Peirce testified to that at the other hearing, but it was a relatively low amount. I understand Senator Huck's concern on the rating, but one of the things that I think would keep this down is that the assumed rate could be anything from minimum wage up to a figure of $5 or $10 an hour, and I think that helps to keep the rate at a lower level. At least it appears that it would not be a large amount as opposed to the potential for.
Okay.
Have
you estimated the fiscal impact?
Madam Chair and Senator Huck, no, we have not.
Madam Chair.
But I'm not, just a comment from Bill, I'm not as much concerned with the National Guard aspect of it. In fact, I don't have those kind of concerns with the bill. It seems
that would be almost like the same thing, wouldn't it?
No.
The
exposure isn't there, I don't think. I don't know how, you know, that's why I was going to try to get the workman's comp and see where they put them.
Senator Hamby?
Yes, may I ask? We just heard the Oregon National Guard spokesperson state 500 approximately, right? Do you have any guesstimate as to sheer numbers statewide when you go through all your various cadet programs, et cetera, et cetera?
Madam Chair and Senator Hamby, we're looking at approximately 6,500 people that are in some aspect of our emergency services or emergency service worker. And some of them are minimal 12 hours a year up to 200 or 300 hours a year with regard to their involvement in the situations.
Madam Chair.
Senator Otto.
I think the last statement that some of these people work from 12 to 300 hours a year has a lot of meaning for me. I think the state of Oregon is just darn fortunate that we have volunteers out there that are willing to go ahead and sacrifice their time and in many cases sacrifice their equipment, and I've done it on my own, sacrifice equipment and fuel and all these other things to aid in search and rescue people that might be in an unfortunate position. And I guess my next question to you is, are we in work session?
We are in work session.
If we are, would you accept the motion?
I'll accept the motion.
I would move Senate Bill 739 to the floor with a DFAS recommendation.
Senator Otto moves Senate Bill 739 to the floor with a DFAS recommendation. Is there any discussion? Will clerk call the roll?
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator House?
Aye.
Senator Jernstedt?
Aye.
Senator McCoy?
Aye.
Senator Otto?
Aye.
Senator Starkovich?
Aye.
Senator Henderson?
Aye. So
Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
I'm so proud to see 6,500 people in the state.
Yeah, isn't that excellent?
That's right. Outstanding.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to do Senate Bill 649 next. This bill has been heard. It exempts cab drivers under the Worker Compensation Law. Were there amendments for this bill?
Yes, this is a good one. Good motion.
Madam Chair.
Senator Howe.
I will in the work session.
Yes.
I would move 649 to the floor with a DFAS recommendation.
All right. And now, as I understand it, does this, before I accept your motion, Senator Howe, were there amendments proposed for this, or is this ready to go as is? Okay.
It's ready to go, yeah.
Okay. Senator Huck moves Senate Bill 649 to the floor with a DFAS recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, will clerk call the roll?
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Huck?
Aye.
Senator Dernstein.
Aye.
Senator McCoy.
Aye.
Senator Otto.
Aye.
Senator Sarsenet.
Aye.
Senator Hendrickson.
Aye. So ordered. Have we held a hearing on Senate Bill 92?
Yes.
That was last week. All right, this bill had been requested the Law Improvement Committee to get our worker compensation laws into conformance with case law.
This is 97?
Yes, Senate Bill 97. This allows, if a worker has conscientious or religious objections to a certain type of medical treatment, that they can't deny their worker compensation payments if they have a bona fide worker refusal to undergo medical or surgical treatment if it's based on conscientious or religious.
I'd like to move Senate Bill 97 to the floor with the blue pass recommendation.
All right. Senator McCoy moves Senate Bill 97 to the floor with the blue pass. Senator Howe.
Madam Chairman, in the hearing, there was some discussion about the removal of the last sentence saying the insurance carrier may pay for treatment by prayer or spiritual means.
Madam Chair, I might note that there is a record letter in your files from a Mr. Hazlett.